You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 13th of May 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from russjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
I don't know about you, but when anyone refers to the vaccine as a jab, it irritates the hell out of me.
Well, I was just thinking the other day, actually, we used to have a politician here who was called Two Jags, referring to his two Jaguars, and I was wondering whether he'd call him Two Jabs today. And it doesn't really annoy me. What really does annoy me is the sneaky way that they've actually sent out the appointments for these injections, because I haven't requested an injection. I haven't said that I want to be vaccinated. And yet you get through this invitation telling you are invited to be vaccinated. And then it gives you no way to actually refuse to be vaccinated. And it tells you that there are only a few people that are exempt from needing to be vaccinated. And if you don't actually know that it is just an invitation and you don't have to go, people are inclined to actually go to these things. I think we've got 2/3 of the people in Britain have actually been given one vaccination. Do you know what the numbers are like over in America? How many have had the jab over there, Matt?
You know, I haven't really been paying attention to the numbers. First of all, I don't believe what anyone says about this. It's a huge percentage. Although Johnson & Johnson has had its big mass inoculation center shut down in a few states. You know, we have these huge numbers of people, you know, like a rock concert. Getting inoculated. I think those have been shut down. So the numbers aren't as high as they think it should be. Remember, Trump was talking about bringing the military in to shoot people up with this stuff. But I don't think, you know, but it's continuing to grow every day and it's supposed to be this big deal. Yet everyone I knows someone who is suffering badly from this needle.
Well, it certainly does seem like there are a lot of adverse side effects. The AstraZeneca jab, I think they've said people under the age of 50 shouldn't have that. There's been problems with the Johnson & Johnson jab. We did a podcast where we talked about Sputnik V, and today we're going to be talking about Pfizer, the Pfizer jab, and what's going on there. The US pharmaceutical giant cashing in on a pandemic that has killed 3.2 million people while failing to help the world's poor is morally indefensible and illustrates the corrupt nature of monopoly medicine. As the New York Times reported, Pfizer generated hundreds of millions in profits in the first quarter of 2021, thanks to its successful COVID-19 vaccine. What is interesting about the company's success, however, is that its vaccine is one of just two widely used that are produced on a for-profit basis, and the only one whose manufacturer is not reliant upon it to stay afloat. Pfizer's windfall this year is, in essence, a windfall for monopoly medicine. Unlike its Western competitors Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, Pfizer decided early to profit from its vaccine. That profit margin hasn't been disclosed, but it was predicted that this would be in the high 20% range. That means that of the $3.5 billion brought in by the vaccine this quarter, about $900 million of it is pre-tax profit. I'm really surprised at this because I thought that these vaccines were being produced for the good of the world and they weren't going to be making profits from it. But that's a huge amount for Pfizer to be making from it. And Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca have also been bad-mouthed in the press, basically, that we've been told about the side effects. But we haven't been told anything about the side effects from the Pfizer one, the one that is actually making all the profits. What do you make of the profits that are being generated by Pfizer here, Matt?
Well, you know, for them to attack the press is laughable. We'll see here later in the show how all of these groups have created the Trusted News Network, which is a monopoly, and they've been a part of this to combat anything negative about the vaccine or anything else. And don't forget, these companies have been financed by the state, been financed by the federal government, international agencies since at least 2015 to come up with this vaccine. I can't believe it, but the first Moderna vaccine was given on March 20th of last year. I have the Seattle Times right in front of me. So this has been going on long before there was any declaration of any kind of an emergency. And finally, I don't believe for 2 minutes that 3.2 million people have died of this. You get into a car accident near someone who may have had the flu last year, you died of corona. So this is Russia Today, usually pretty good about this kind of thing. But that's my first thoughts about this paragraph here.
Well, unlike Moderna, a competitor that uses similar vaccine technology to Pfizer's, Pfizer is an extraordinarily profitable company already, making a $9.6 billion in profits in 2020 before the vaccine had even had a serious impact. Moderna has no other products on the market, so turning a profit on its vaccine is crucial for its operation, but not so for Pfizer. Pfizer sells its vaccine sales at different rates as well. The United States, for example, pays $19.50 for each dose, whilst Israel has reportedly paid $30 a dose. The reason all this is morally justifiable, Pfizer has said repeatedly, is that it was never a part of the US government's Operation Warp Speed and therefore should be allowed to set its own prices. But what you were talking about there, Matt, about it actually being first used in March last year, I think that was part of the trials, because I seem to remember them announcing in March that they had now got the vaccine and they were going to start the trials. So it wasn't actually rolled out until October. And I think Israel have paid $30 because they were the first ones in there. But I am surprised that Israel is paying this this high price for it, because Pfizer is run by Jews, basically. There's a close connection between Jews and Pfizer. And yet Israel is paying the highest prices here. What do you make of the variable rates that are being charged for it?
Well, I mean, the accounting has long since been taken care of. The article, coronavirus vaccine test opens as volunteer in Seattle gets first shot. The experimental coronavirus vaccine was Monday, excuse me, the 16th of March. This lockdown, I believe, was started on the 11th, meaning that this had been in production for some time. And the so-called warp speed, which not only allows companies to skimp on their testing, to completely skip the animal section and go straight to humans, but it even makes them even more immune to any lawsuits in the future. Because of the so-called emergency decrees that have been promoted both in the federal and the state level, it's going to be extremely difficult to get anything out of these companies. So they have no – this is not until they're subsidized. The taxpayers are taking care of this. Taxpayers will bail them out. And you can't sue them for any negative impact of the vaccine itself. So these people have almost none of their own investment. They use small companies, and they use, essentially, like in Germany, they just steal them. It's 100% profit plus a subsidy, and you can't do anything about it if it goes wrong. When we talk about oligarchy in this show, we talk about what capitalism really is. We talk about how ridiculous libertarians are, and they talk about, you know, corporations versus the state. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is the most extreme version of what happens when you live in an oligarchy that I've ever come across.
It really does show how the American government is in the pockets of the pharmaceutical industry, particularly in Pfizer's pocket. Well, however, this is deceptive. BioNTech, the company that actually developed the vaccine, after which Pfizer basically slapped its label upon it, received a $455 million grant from the German government and got around $6 billion in purchase commitments from the US and the EU. Not only that, but the Pfizer vaccine is based on mRNA technology, patented by the National Institutes of Health, that was funded by US taxpayers. In a nutshell, Pfizer capitalised on a partnership with a then-obscure German biotech company that received German government grants to develop its vaccine based on US taxpayer-funded technology, and then received purchasing guarantees from rich governments that guaranteed billions of dollars in revenue. It managed to privatise all the profits while socialising all the risk in what was a textbook case of how corrupt Big Pharma is. But the scope of this monumental corruption really shines through when you consider that this is a once-in-several-lifetimes public health emergency that has killed millions of people. Governments around the world promised a warlike response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and yet it's mostly been just business as usual. Intellectual property laws, which have only been defended in multilateral institutions such as the United Nations by rich countries, are demonstrably a barrier to getting vaccine doses out, and everyone knows it. And I think we should also say here that Bill Gates has stepped in there and said that the patent, it has to be patented, and they shouldn't actually give this patent to the poorer countries so that they can actually start manufacturing their own vaccines as well. And if this virus was as deadly as they made out it to be, then surely you would want to get as much of the vaccine out to as many people as possible, and you wouldn't be worrying about profits, and the government would have funded all of it. And yet we have this privatized side to it, where the government have essentially funded all the research, and the company is then making all the profit and guaranteed to make that profit by the government. I mean, what do you make of what I've just quoted here, Matt?
Well, the most interesting part of it is what Moderna is. You know, Moderna doesn't sell any products. This is the first thing it's ever done. And yet it too receives these huge subsidies. Some of these companies, you know, after that sell things, have been, you know, sued for billions of dollars very recently, or put on, you know, the probationary period by the federal government. Unfortunately, things like the FDA, this is a revolving door. People who control these institutions are the same people who will then 2 years from now go and work at Moderna and go back again. Moderna's, again, that has produced nothing before, who comes up out of nowhere like a shell company, was misleading people in their test results. Their stock went through the roof. That's when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Wrote, you know, on May 20th this huge attack on them. And the thing is, this has been going on long since before the lockdown was ever called. So these, you know, this shell company, this came out of nowhere, and is getting subsidies without having produced anything. And we talked on this show about how the Russian vaccine, the Sputnik vaccine, doesn't have these side effects, has actually been tested normally, but is financed by the state rather than private corporations. But the Moderna thing is absolutely bizarre, since this is the only thing that they do. The German company that you cited, they specialize in cancer. BioNTech and the others, these aren't even part of the virology issue. So none of this here is making any sense.
I seem to remember what happened was Donald Trump said, we need to get this vaccine made as quickly as possible and we'll put it up for tender. And I think Moderna said, well, we can do it the cheapest. We've never done it before, but we can do it the cheapest. Give us the money, give us the guaranteed sales, and we'll get it done for you. And I should imagine that whoever was involved in Moderna had obviously been known for getting things done quickly. I mean, over here we have a company called Serco that seem to get involved in everything, and nobody really knows what they do, but they're involved in security. They're also involved in food. They just seem to produce everything for prisons and hospitals. And I suspect it was probably a company like that. And they said, we'll get it done for you. We'll get it done for the cheapest. And then they came out with this Moderna name for it. But there's more to this, as you say, Matt. So while blood clotting concerns, of course, controversy, and even the discontinuation of vaccines made by AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, any mention of this from the mRNA vaccines in the media has been pretty much non-existent. And that is quite strange. Also, headlines trumpet all the time how highly effective Pfizer's vaccine is, placing huge importance on the percentage of its effectiveness without adding context. As the Vox YouTube channel masterfully explained in a video posted in March, it is extremely difficult to compare vaccines, especially as they are tested in different parts of the world and at different times. Pfizer has successfully maneuvered our corrupt system to rake in record profits with virtually no risk at all. It is sad to say, but this happens all the time. However, right now, it is only artificially prolonging a once-in-a-century pandemic that I think most of us can agree is destroying our lives. Let Pfizer's success this year be a historic reminder of why capitalism and public health are totally incompatible. And we are hearing about all these problems with these vaccines. We're hearing about spontaneous abortions. We're hearing about people having their monthly period cycle messed around with. And just by being in the presence of people that are actually vaccinated and this spike protein that is a part of this vaccine, you're basically telling your body to produce something that harms the body. It can get into the bloodstream. It can get into the brain. We've had people that used to work for Pfizer that are warning about this technology and how it caused all sorts of problems the last time they tried it. And yet we're told it's really successful. And this is all being hidden. None of it is being talked about in the mainstream media. Well, what do you make of the way that they've got the media sewn up here, Matt?
Well, this Trusted News Initiative, which we'll talk about at the end here, is the first time you have a clear institutionalized consortium of not just newspapers and, you know, things like CNN, but also social media getting together and officially coming out with a single story that they're – I mean, they've been doing this for years, but now you have an institution doing this. But you talk about the – you know, the Moderna vaccine is one of the worst in this respect. And it's not something that any of us specialize in, but the way this thing works, it's the RNA material, is made in a lab, of course, injected in your body, it invades your cells, hijack your cells' protein-making machinery to produce the viral elements that then train your immune system to fight the virus. It hijacks the cells to produce pieces of it, like a spike protein, rather than the whole thing. They even self-amplify in some cases. And, you know, it invades from outside the cell. It's the hallmark of a virus. And, you know, they use nanoparticles. They're not easily degraded. They can cause a massive toxic buildup, especially in the liver. And the self-amplifying virus completely evades the cell's, the natural defenses. And being able to stealthily go around your cell's defenses, that's the nature of a bioweapon. Not to mention the fact that all of this is not legal. You can't sell a experimental drug, let alone force people to take it, that's been rammed through. Not to mention the fact it's no accident that Moderna has close friends in the Pentagon. This goes back to 2019 in the biowarfare department, which is not supposed to even exist. So this is, as we all know, this is far bigger and far more potent than anything we've ever come across before.
I think it's the spike protein itself that actually causes the clotting. I saw quite a good article the other day on a website called Conservative Women, or Conservative Woman rather, that actually went into this and exactly how it was that there was this side effect of clotting, and how they knew that they had this side effect of clotting years ago, and that was why they didn't use mRNA technology for vaccines. Well, it seems like even higher prices are to come. The total sales for the Pfizer vaccine will likely exceed $30 billion in 2021 alone. Pfizer shares its profits with its partner company, which means they are expecting at least $15 billion this year, bumping their total revenue next year to around $60 billion, one quarter of which will be accounted for just by the vaccine. These sales will bring in a substantial profit for the company, particularly because the vaccine received nearly $6 billion from the American government's contract for production and rollout costs. The German government supported the research, while official reports suggest Pfizer and its partners spent only around $1 billion in additional research costs last year. But a large profit isn't enough for Pfizer, and it seems clear prices will rise steeply once they decide the pandemic is over. A senior executive has suggested $150 to $175 per dose would be more normal pricing for a vaccine of this sort. Pfizer claims these astronomical prices are needed to recoup R&D costs, but a glance at their accounts last year shows that the corporation returned a whopping $8.4 billion to shareholders in dividends and reported a profit of $8.7 billion. So it really didn't cost that much R&D, did it? And this the price is going to go up when the pandemic is over. What they're not actually mentioning here is all the updates, because they've said we may need to have a third injection by the end of the year. And when a new variant comes out, there will need to be another injection and another update. And no doubt when they see all these problems and these side effects are coming from it, they'll need to inject people with another update to compensate for the side effects. I bet there will be an update to compensate for blood clotting at some point. I mean, it really does look as if anybody that has gone in for these injections has signed up for continuing injections. And if Pfizer are going to put the price up to $150 a dose and people have to have it, I mean, it's just going to make an absolute fortune for them. What do you make of their planned increase in prices here, Matt?
Seems like every day I'm hearing something new about how many more of these shots we're going to need. Now, beside the fact that viruses mutate, and all the press has to do is claim that there is this new strain out there, always going to be deadlier than the last one. They could do this every month if they want to, necessitating another shot. But you're like a drug dealer. They start off claiming this was in the beginning, this was supposed to be free, and of course now with every update, with every mutation, they're talking about once a year now. Like they promote the flu shot. And, of course, the prices go up each time. And we've already talked about the fact that R&D costs aren't really an issue. They've taken research from other viruses in the past. It's been going on for a very long time. I mentioned the DARPA. The Pentagon has given Moderna huge amounts of money to develop some of this technology. This actually comes out of biowarfare research. And besides the fact, this is all being subsidized. So like the author says before, this is free money. And it's bad enough that you can't sue these companies if something goes wrong. But now with the so-called emergency legislation, they're even more immune. There's very little that can be done, even if you were to go to the federal government. So not only does the taxpayer finance them, but if something goes wrong, the taxpayer not only bails out the company, but it will then compensate anyone who's been damaged by this ridiculous chemical.
Has also been a vast lobbying effort. Pfizer's former CEO was instrumental in developing the global patent agreement known as TRIPS, and intellectual property is a bedrock of Pfizer's profits. In its most recent annual report, the corporation seems proud of its role in pushing for even stronger patent law, stating, "Our industry advocacy or lobbying efforts focus on seeking a fair and transparent business environment for foreign manufacturers, underscoring the importance of strong intellectual property systems. This lobbying clout is important. Pfizer and its lobbying body, PHRMA, were the top spending lobbyists in the US healthcare sector over the last two decades. They use the power lobbying gives them to promote and extend their rights of secrecy or data exclusivity over medical development and their monopoly protection, which allows them to charge these astronomical prices. They support the US government, including higher levels of monopoly protection in new trade deals." So you look at that and you think, well, patent law and making it so that people actually make a profit from what they've developed and nobody else can steal it, you think that is a good thing. But when it's talking about things that people need, things that people have a medical need for, then it's basically blackmailing people into paying really high prices for things that have been developed by the government and developed by intelligent people in universities in the hopes that it would benefit mankind. And it's not benefiting mankind. It's just benefiting these horrible types at the top of companies like Pfizer. What do you make of what it says here, Matt?
Well, again, the media's role is extremely important, especially when it comes to exposing the lobbying effort. I mentioned the Trusted News Initiative. This is put together by the major Associated Press, AFP, the EBU, Financial Times, First Draft, Microsoft, and they've already made policy. This is what's not going to be allowed to be stated, are these lobbying efforts, and that even the dark side of the mRNA vaccine, the experimental aspect of this, has already been said. This is dangerous disinformation. So no major newspaper is going to be allowed by their own internal rules to talk about any of this. So, and besides all that, people are convinced that unless they get this shot, their lives won't go back to normal. Everything will be fine again if we just get this shot. And that's the other scare tactic. But control of the media with this new institution, this is the first time you have an institution, the so-called Trusted News Initiative, where all the major media companies, not that many of them, get together and actually lay out policy. This is what we're going to report. Anything else is false. And, of course, you're not going to be hearing that. I saw an article on the BBC, but this is not a major issue, of course, and it's never going to be. This is – the media control is absolutely essential. Bill Gates said that in 2019.
Well, we're not on YouTube, and we're not a part of the mainstream media, so we can discuss these things on our independent media platform that we have here, radioalbion.com. So let's discuss some of the adverse reactions. And this is data that comes from Dr. Peter McCulloch, the most cited doctor in COVID-19 treatment in English. He says between December 14th and April 23rd, there were 3,544 deaths reported to the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, along with 12,619 serious injuries. One might expect these numbers would trigger an exhaustive investigation from the US Food and Drug Administration, but the opposite has occurred. According to McCulloch, the government has taken what amounts to a passing glance at the alarming numbers and dismissed them with a bare minimum of scrutiny. A typical new drug at about 5 deaths, unexplained deaths, we get a black box warning. Your listeners would see it on TV saying it may cause death, McCulloch said. And then at about 50 deaths, it is pulled off the market. The US has a precedent for this. In 1976, during the swine flu pandemic, the US attempted to vaccinate 55 million Americans. But at that point, the shot caused about 500 cases of paralysis and 25 deaths. The program was killed at 25 deaths, McCulloch said. And remember, he's saying that at the moment it's 3,544 deaths and the FDA are still not investigating it. What do you know about the swine flu pandemic of 76, Matt?
Well, that's not something I'm going to talk about because I don't know that much about it. But the precedent we just heard about, it doesn't take much for these things to be halted and then pulled. You're talking about, he's saying 1,600 so far, and any investigation into this would take maybe a year to complete. McCulloch is the ultimate person to cite because there was no one better known in this field than him. The press has been telling us we have to listen only to experts. He is the expert of the experts, and he's coming out vehemently against these vaccines and how they're being rolled out. And as far as the death numbers are concerned, I probably won't be able to get to this in detail, but he's saying that maybe between 1 and 10% of deaths will ever get reported to VAERS. So there's far more deaths. There's far more negative repercussions besides the fact that the press won't talk about it anyway. You know, it takes someone to actually enter it into the system. And if it doesn't die within 15 minutes, it goes unreported. And not to mention, we're not even talking about long-term effects that can take years to develop. And that will not be reported. And that's not even included in this because this was rammed through so quickly. And so McCulloch here is the big – now, if you go do a Google search on this guy, you see what they're doing to him. All of a sudden, now he's a quack. It shows you how media control is absolutely essential to this whole agenda.
Well, compare that type of response to the government's reaction to much higher reported death numbers related to the Moderna and Pfizer shots, and the contrast is alarming. McCulloch said, especially when the shots have not even been granted full FDA approval and are only being allowed on the market under an emergency use authorization. In the US today, as of late March, we have approximately 77 million people vaccinated for COVID, and we have 2,602 deaths reported. So it is unprecedented how many deaths have accrued, he said. Then on March 8th, the CDC announced on their website, with very little fanfare, that they had reviewed about 1,600 deaths with unnamed FDA doctors, and they indicated not a single death was related to the vaccine, he added. I think that was concerning in the academic community. McCullough said he knows from first-hand experience that doing a thorough investigation into 1,600 potentially vaccine-related deaths would have taken months to complete. I have chaired and participated in dozens of data safety monitoring boards and sat on those committees, and I can tell you that this type of work would have taken many months to review all the labs, the death certificates, and all the circumstances of an event. It is impossible for unnamed regulatory doctors without any experience with COVID-19 to opine that none of the deaths were related to the vaccine. So, we have a cover-up there, do we not, Matt?
And it's being exposed by the best-known doctor in precisely this field. The press loved this guy up until he started talking like this. And as far as the numbers are concerned, he's coming out and saying, whatever the death numbers are, say there's 1,600 as of a short time ago, you know, that's got to be increased by a factor of 10. Even cites a Harvard University study saying that these vaccine deaths are only rarely reported, not to mention long-term injuries. And as for long-term injuries, they could always say, well, it's many other things. It's not the vaccine. So up until now, we've been told that everything that possibly happens to someone is related to COVID. Now with the vaccine, nothing can be related to the vaccine. It's intellectual dishonesty at the most extreme level. None of us have ever come across this level of dishonesty before, especially at such a scale.
Well, previous studies, including one from Harvard University, estimate that only 1 to 10% of all vaccine-related deaths get reported to VAERS. So in all likelihood, there are more people dying than even gets reported. Yet the FDA can't come up with a single death related to the Moderna and Pfizer shots. Reporting a death requires a healthcare worker to enter it into the system, he said. And if the death does not occur within the normal 15-minute monitoring period, they often go unreported. Most deaths occur within 72 hours of the shot. They pile up on day 1, 2, and 3, he said. Mainstream outlets have agreed to not allow any news critical of the shots to reach the American people. This corrupt collusion falls under the Trusted News Initiative, a global collaboration signed on to by big tech social media giants and many of its corrupt corporate media partners. The partners signed on to the Trusted News Initiative to date are Associated Press, AFP, BBC, CBC Radio Canada, European Broadcasting Union, the EBU, Facebook, Financial Times, First Draft, Google, YouTube, The Hindu, Microsoft, Reuters, Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism, Twitter, The Washington Post, The New York Times has also participated in the past. Reporting facts related to the darker side of the experimental mRNA vaccines is considered dangerous disinformation by the globalist media elites behind the Trusted News Initiative. Matt, what are your final thoughts on all of this?
The only thing I could say in a short period of time is that this is going to be a boom to actual real independent media, to people like us, to doctors like McCullough, who are going to be read out of the country club now. This is going to be a huge, because now they're saying that you really shouldn't listen to this. This is propaganda, it's corporate America. It's the Trusted News Initiative is far more. They cover presidential elections around the world. This isn't just about the vaccine. So now they're out in the open saying that we are manipulating news. What are you going to do about it?
Who would have known how important the alternative media would turn out to be just a few years back? Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much to the listeners for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.